Father, we thank you for a chance to meet together this morning. Please bless our conversations as we sit under your word together. Help us to encourage each other and help us to listen to you as you speak to us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. And as Simon said, this morning we're thinking about work, and it's our place and its place in our lives as Christians. And much of what I'm going to say comes from a book by a man called Vaughan Roberts. So firstly, it's not plagiarism if I openly admit to you that all the best things this morning are his and not mine. And secondly, if you want a fuller treatment of what he says about work and about what the Bible says about work, which he is exploring, go and get his book. It's called God's Big Design by Vaughan Roberts, and it's really, really helpful. And I wonder, have you ever had, or have you ever agonized over any of the following questions? What job should we do? How much time should we devote to it? How should we behave at work? What ambition should we have at work? And we're often confronted by bad examples. One of the ushers at my wedding has completely ruined his life by sacrificing his life on the altar of work. And by doing that, he's hurt all the people most close to him. And more than anyone, he's hurt himself, all because work comes above everything else. So he's destroyed all of his relationships. Then there's the opposite attitude. I've got lots of colleagues at work who just view work as a means to an end, to pay the tabs for the parties at the weekend. And even Christians can sometimes have quite a low view of work, where we're only really interested in the work of the new creation and not the work of this creation. So everything becomes about sharing the gospel all the time with other people, but we don't consider how our work now can actually honour Jesus and bring blessing to others through what we're doing. So we're just going to think about two things very briefly this morning from these verses. And firstly, it's that work is a good part of God's creation. And secondly, it's that work, whilst a good part of God's creation, is not the goal of life. So the first thing we see this morning, work is a good part of God's creation. And if that's true, work's a gift from God, and we should give him thanks for it. Can we see that in verse 15? Have a little look. Adam is put into the Garden of Eden to do what? To work it and take care of it. In fact, the original command in Genesis 1, the first command that's given in the Bible, is fill the earth and subdue it. So God says, go and have lots of children, work in the family home, raising them, and subdue the earth at the same time as you do that. So human beings are not just made for leisure. We're designed to do work. And as we work, we actually work in partnership with God. So God created the garden, but he puts Adam in the garden to work it. God creates our daily bread, but he does so in partnership with the farmer and the baker and the lorry driver and the shopkeeper. John Stott, the Christian author, wrote that God's the creator, and man is the cultivator. And so in God's good purposes, God's creating and our crafting go together. So as Christians, we can serve God with our work, not just with how we do our work, but with the work itself. I can serve God as a teacher, teaching children how to write analytical essays, teaching them how to structure an essay, how to write persuasively and engagingly and energetically. You can serve God in your sphere of work, whatever that is. God created us to work, and work, as we honour him, is spiritual. The exception, of course, is work which is ungodly, like being a thief. But work, whether it's paid or unpaid, whether it's full-time or part-time, whether it's in the home or out of the home, work is a key part of our Christian service. So that applies to you if you're a stay-at-home dad or if you're retired. My dad's retired, and I was saying to Simon earlier, he says he's more busy now since he's retired than he was ever when he was employed. God made the whole world. There's no division between the secular and the spiritual. He's concerned with every area of our life. There's not one inch of this creation about which Jesus doesn't say, that's mine, I want it, that belongs to me. So we don't only serve God, when we're in church. We don't only serve God when we have a Bible in front of us. We don't only serve God when we're making tea and coffee on a Sunday morning for others to enjoy. We serve God when you're a grandparent changing nappies. We serve God when you're ferrying people around in your car. We serve God by making dinner for other people. We serve God by doing paperwork in the office. These are spiritual activities because we're serving Jesus. So whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Christians who are lazy and have a low view of work, they aren't serving God properly. And Christians who think that only evangelism matters, well, they actually risk being bad witnesses. Again, if I, you know, thinking about me at school, if I only cared about telling people the gospel, well, then I wouldn't care about meeting deadlines. I wouldn't care about getting my marking done or doing my preparation or being a good teacher. And I'd be dishonoring Jesus. And when people looked at me, they'd think, oh, this Jesus, I don't want to follow him. Look at how he makes you behave. So serving Jesus with our work, it is an important part of our witness to those who don't know him. So that's the first thing we see. Work is a good part of God's creation. We mustn't denigrate work. But work mustn't take the place of God either. That's the second thing we're going to see. Work is not the goal of life. So in verse 15, God takes the man and places him in the garden, and the man works. But then have a look at what God says in verses 16 and 17. Have a little look down. And the Lord commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. So what does that show us? Well, it shows us that Adam and Eve's prime focus is not to do the job that God's given them to do in the garden, but rather their prime focus is to enjoy their relationship with God. And work is a part of enjoying our relationship with God. It's symbolized, isn't it, by those two trees. There's the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God speaks and defines what's right and wrong. He says, don't eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And as they respond with trust and obedience, they enjoy fullness of life with their loving Creator. And that is more important than the work God gave them to do in the garden. And so who am I? I'm a Christian, thinly veiled as an English teacher. Simon's a Christian, thinly disguised as a manager in a cancer research charity. Luke Cowes, if he was here, he's a Christian, thinly disguised as a solicitor. John Price, not with us this morning, we'll be praying for him later. What's he disguised as? Well, he's disguised, you know, he's a Christian, thinly disguised as a grandfather, father, and husband. But the most important truth about us is our relationship with God. And our relationship with God impacts every other part of our lives and how we go about doing it. So we mustn't get that wrong. How many times have we seen on the news that a man loses his job and then, you know, perhaps he goes to the library each day pretending he's going to work and his wife thinks everything's fine, and then one day everything collapses and he ends up killing himself. And sometimes even his family and children. When work is your God, then your sense of identity, your sense of importance, your sense of self-respect are bound up in your work. And when you lose your job in that situation, well, then you lose your life. Even if you don't kill yourself, your life is ruined if all of your self-respect is bound up in work. And that's why men like my friend Mark, who I was telling you about earlier, are willing to sacrifice their marriages and their children and even their relationship with God on the altar of work. That's probably why God created the Sabbath, to give people rest so that they could refocus on God. And for Christians, that principle of one day off in seven, that's a wise thing to do. God created us for work, but he never intended for us to work day in and day out. So don't feel guilty about resting and about enjoying leisure time. We could then say, when does a parent's work ever stop? But we can have a day at a slower pace. We can help each other out as a couple so that we give each other rest. We're not made for work, first and foremost. We're made for worship. And our relationship with God must come first. And so we need to ask ourselves regularly if work is part of our service of God, as it should be, or whether it's beginning to rival him. And too often work becomes about pleasing the boss, achieving a target, gaining a promotion. Let's make sure that actually we're setting aside some time each day to consciously draw near to God. And part of our prayer should be to offer our work as a service to him. And whatever our work environment, we should be thinking, how can I serve God here with the work that I'm doing? So work is not the goal of life. What we don't really have time to talk about here is that Adam and Eve did sin and eat the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat. And when God judges them in Genesis 3, the judgment also falls on their work. And so Adam's told he'll only eat from the ground in painful toil, and Eve's told that she'll give birth in great pain. And those are the two areas of work we were given in Genesis chapter 1, childbirth and taming the earth. And so because of that judgment, work now is not always going to be a bed of roses. It won't always be satisfying. Sometimes it's going to be a total pain in the neck, and sometimes it's going to massively stress you out. But work is also a good gift from God, even though it's only a part of our relationship with God. So Christians live in tension, don't we, while we wait for Jesus to return. We live in this present world, and we have God-given responsibilities in it. We have creation work to do, whether it's somebody managing a cancer research charity, somebody who's a teacher, somebody who's training at theological college. We have creation work to do, which we're to do well, as service to Jesus. Your labor in the workplace and your labor in the home is not secular work, it's Christian work. We serve Jesus as we serve the creation he made. And as we do so, we should proclaim with our lives and with our lips that this world isn't all there is. There is a world to come, and only Jesus can take us there. There is a better place, unspoilt by sin. God will be at the center, with everything and everyone finding their place and meaning in him when we're there. And so good creation work leads to good new creation work, because through good creation work, we should be pointing people to Jesus and showing them that there is more to life, and that is relationship with him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the good gift of work. Pray that we would receive it with thanksgiving, because it is a gift. Please help us to honour you with it in the way that we do it. Help us to bring blessing to others, because that is a good thing. But above all, help us to show others that this life is not all there is, and that the most important thing is relationship with you, not idolising and serving our work. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Simon.